Let's read together the Word of God in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We read this in connection with Lord's Day 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism. This is the Word of God in 2 Thessalonians 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope, through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So far we read God's holy word. It's on the basis of that passage and in harmony with all of God's word that we have the teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 1. Lord's Day 1, question 1, what is thy only comfort in life and death? That I with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins, and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore, by His Holy Spirit, He also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto Him. Question 2. How many things are necessary for thee to know that thou, enjoying this comfort, mayest live and die happily? 3. The first, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. The third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. I have a tickle in my throat, and I've had it since we've started, and I'm struggling to get rid of it, so I may have to stop sparingly through the sermon to take care of that. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the words of Lord's Day 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism are very precious to us. They're very precious to us for many reasons. They're precious to us because we've heard them all our life long. From very early age, we hear Heidelberg Catechism preaching, and at a very young age, we study the Heidelberg Catechism in catechism class, and certainly at some point in all of our lives, we have memorized the words of Lord's Day 1. They're very precious to us because in and of themselves, they're beautiful words. Even in the English translation, which we are familiar with in our Heidelberg Catechism, the words have a poetic nature to them that makes them in and of themselves beautiful. They're precious to us because at certain times in our lives, these are the words that we turn to. I think I mentioned not so long ago in a sermon that it's striking that almost at every funeral of a Reformed believer, not everyone, but often at the funerals of believers who believed in the Reformed faith, what is on the bulletin of the funeral is Lord's Day 1. But all of those reasons are just parts of what is the main reason Lord's Day 1 is so precious to us. The main reason Lord's Day 1 is so precious to us is because the gospel is precious to us. And Lord's Day 1 is but a faithful and succinct explanation of the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is that God saves us and preserves us in that salvation through the perfect and complete work of Christ. The gospel is that God unites us savingly to the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can say we are not our own. We are not our own today. We are not our own tomorrow. We are not our own forever. But instead, today, tomorrow, and forever, we belong to Jesus. Lord's Day 1 is precious to us because it is a faithful explanation in a beautiful way, grounded squarely in all points upon sacred Scripture, of the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. It's that precious Lord's Day 1 which we consider this morning under the theme, the comfort of belonging to Jesus. Let's consider the 2 points this morning, the meaning of that, and then in the second place, let's consider the enjoyment of that comfort. The comfort of belonging to Jesus, the meaning, and then the enjoyment. Lord's Day 1 stands as an introduction to the entire Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 1 sets forth what is the theme of the entire catechism, and the theme of the entire catechism is that of comfort. That this is the introduction to the entire catechism and the theme of the entire catechism is evident from question and answer 2. What do we need to know to enjoy this comfort and live and die happily? And the answer to that are the 3 main sections of the Heidelberg Catechism. The 3 sections being the knowledge of our sin and misery, the knowledge of Christ as our deliverer, and then our thankful walk of obedience. And what the Heidelberg Catechism does, as we're well aware of, is explain those 3 things that we must know in the remaining Lord's days of the Heidelberg Catechism. So that it's true that the word comfort itself is not found in many places throughout the remaining Lord's days of the Heidelberg Catechism. It is found in a few Lord's days, and what's very striking is that it's found several times in connection with the Lord's days on the Last Judgment. That's interesting. Of all of the places where the word comfort is found in the Catechism, it's found in connection with the final judgment. Even in that, there is comfort for the child of God. But it's true. You're not going to find the word comfort scattered throughout all of the Lord's days of the Heidelberg Catechism, but what we have to understand is that in every Lord's Day, what is being set forth is an aspect of the comfort that we have of belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. so that at every point in our study of the Heidelberg Catechism, we always must see it in light of this first Lord's Day, which sets forth the theme of the entirety of the Catechism. This is what makes the Heidelberg Catechism unique as a catechism. In the introductory Lord's Day, you always have to face the question of how much history to talk about. In the past, I've talked about more history than I'm going to talk about today, the history of the Heidelberg Catechism as a document itself. I only want to make one point this morning regarding history, and that is that the Heidelberg Catechism is unique in contrast to other catechisms that were developed, especially at the time of the Reformation. Heidelberg Catechism is not the only catechism question and answer document that was developed out of the 16th century Reformation. There were many catechisms written by many various men. And when you study the catechisms that arose out of the Reformation, what you see is a common content to them all. Many of the catechisms treat the exact same things that are treated in the Heidelberg Catechism. They treat the Apostles' Creed. They treat the sacraments of the Lord's Supper and baptism. They treat prayer, especially the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. And they treat the Ten Commandments. Many of the catechisms have those basic elements of the content the same. What makes the Heidelberg Catechism unique is exactly what is set forth in this first Lord's Day. What's unique about the Catechism is that it takes all of those main elements that make up the content of the Catechism and weaves through them all this very important theme of comfort. And that's what makes the Heidelberg Catechism so beautiful, and that's what makes the Heidelberg Catechism especially so appropriate to preach. It doesn't look at simply all of these elements, prayer, Ten Commandments, sacraments, Apostles' Creed, as the doctrines in and of themselves, but it looks at all of them from the perspective of what they mean for you and for me as Christians, and particularly what they mean, especially in light of the fact that we are sinners who need the comfort of the gospel. In a beautiful way, that theme is expressed in Lord's Day 1. And what we do this morning is not pick apart all of the individual phrases of Lord's Day 1. That's not the intent of Lord's Day 1. If we were to do that this morning, we would be covering everything that's going to come later in the Heidelberg Catechism. What we do this morning is we see that main idea of comfort as it is expressed in Lord's Day 1. Comfort presupposes a certain need. In order for one to be comforted, there has to be a reason on account of which they need that comfort. And how you express, from a spiritual point of view, what is the need for comfort determines in every respect what the content of that comfort is. The need for our comfort can be summarized in one word: death. Death, which is present in this world, and death which we are going to face, each one of us, if the Lord does not return, because of the reality of sin and guilt. Why do you need comfort today? Why do I need comfort today? Why do we need comfort every single day of our lives? It's because you and I are going to face death. And death which is present in our life because of what God said in the beginning, in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. So that we are going to die because of the presence of sin in this world, going back to Adam, in whom we are all guilty, and the presence of sin in my life and in your life, and the actual sins that we commit against God. The first phrase of explanation in the Heidelberg Catechism after making the main statement that our comfort is that we belong to Jesus is this, who fully satisfies for all our sins. That's the heart of it all. And as we'll see repeatedly in the Heidelberg Catechism, what is often just as significant as the answers is the questions. And the question of Lord's Day 1 is a powerful question. What is thy only comfort in life and in death? We need comfort in life. We need comfort at the very end when we face death. But don't make the mistake of drawing too sharp of a distinction between those two aspects mentioned in the question at the beginning. Don't draw too sharp of a distinction between our life and our death. Don't draw too sharp of a distinction because of another phrase with which we are very familiar from our baptism form. Speaking about the lives of the babies who are baptized, what does the baptism form say? It says that in this life, which is nothing but a continual what? Death. Yes, we have life right now, but this life we live is nothing but a continual death. Every day we are faced with the reality of death. Every day we are faced with that reality on account of the fact that we know we are sinners and that one day the end will come for us. We have a need for comfort because we are going to die. And we know that death, because of the justice and holiness and righteousness of God, is the just punishment for sin and guilt. Comfort is to know, to trust, to be certain of, to be assured of every single day that in the face of the greatest misery, in the face of the greatest distress, everything is okay and there is hope, certain hope of deliverance and victory. That comfort, as it is expressed in Lord's Day 1, is that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one only by whom and in whom there is victory over death and there is deliverance, therefore, from sin. All of the phrases in the answer to Lord's Day 1 explain succinctly and beautifully the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and why our comfort is found in belonging to Him alone. Some people say with respect to the Heidelberg Catechism that it's not appropriate in its perspective because it's man-centered. They look at the beginning, question and answer one, and they say it focuses on man. What is thy only comfort in life and death? And then the answer is that I, with body and soul, am not my own but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And they say, look how that focuses on man instead of focuses on God. And the fact is that that is altogether incorrect. Yes, it does take the perspective of the child of God and what he or she needs and the confession that they make. But in that answer, it is not man-centered. In the answer, it is altogether God-centered and Christ-centered. The main content of our comfort is that we are not our own. That's the comfort stated from a negative perspective. I am not my own. So that though the Heidelberg Catechism certainly is talking about the actual child of God in his or her life and their need, right away at the beginning, it takes the focus off of ourselves and brings the focus directly to God and to Jesus Christ. My comfort is that I am not my own. To be not our own means that I'm somebody else's. If one is his or her own, that means they don't have Christ. If one is his or her own, means that they have to face the need that we have for comfort, as I explained it a moment ago, death on account of sin and guilt. They have to face that need for comfort, that greatest distress and misery in this life. They have to face that on their own. Our comfort is that we are not our own, because any man, woman, or child who faces that death and the sin and guilt that is the cause of that death on their own has only one end. And that end is everlasting destruction and eternal misery in hell. Verse 12 of 2 Thessalonians 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's the end for those who are their own. For those who face death, sin, and guilt on their own by not believing in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's damnation and eternal misery and suffering. Your comfort and my comfort is that we are not our own, but instead that we belong to Jesus. The Jesus who is Savior. The Jesus who has fully satisfied for our sins. The Jesus who preserves us in all of our salvation. The Jesus who makes all things subservient to our salvation. The Christ who makes us willing, ready henceforth to live unto Him. The Christ whom we will see one day in heaven and live with forever. The comfort of the gospel is that it is all in Christ. We read this morning 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the beginning of which sets forth the truth of the Antichrist and what will happen at the end, and the end of which sets forth the comfort that the Apostle Paul expresses concerning the saints in the church of Thessalonica. And the comfort is that they will not be deceived by the Antichrist and his kingdom. The comfort is that they are not to be troubled on account of the coming of the Antichrist. The comfort is that God has saved them. And what I want to draw out from 2 Thessalonians 2 in connection with Lord's Day 1 is that your comfort and my comfort is that we know that we are loved by God. Notice the end of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says in verse 13, in contrast to what he talked about in verse 12 with those who would be damned who believe not the truth, this is the comfort that the apostle expresses in 2 Thessalonians 2. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And then what does he say at the end in the doxology? Now, verse 16, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation or comfort and good hope through grace. Our comfort is that we are loved by God. Loved by God according to the eternal decree of election. Notice that in verse 13. Give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. When we think about the reality of death, sin, and guilt, knowing who God is as a righteous, holy, and just God, we think about and know that God to be the God who loves us. The God who in eternity chose us unto salvation, unto sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. That is, chose us unto the end of saving us in Jesus Christ through faith in Christ, working in our hearts by His Spirit, faith, so that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we trust in Christ, so that the Spirit would work in our hearts sanctification and a life of thankful obedience. Our comfort is that when we think upon the holy and just and righteous God, we know that we, by the grace of God, are the objects of His love. An eternal love. A love so great that He sent this Lord Jesus Christ to fully satisfy for all our sins. A love that is so powerful to save. A love that conquers sin and gives victory over death. A love that is so powerful that no one and nothing can ever pluck us out of our Father's hand. A love that though we are sinners every single day, never changes. A love from eternity flowing through the cross, extending into all eternity in the new heaven and new earth. Our comfort is that God loves us and saves us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, that is our only comfort. As I stated a moment ago, the questions oftentimes are just as important as the answers. And the question at the beginning of the catechism is, what is thy only comfort in life and in death? That word only is so very important. There's only one thing in which we find our comfort in life and in death. This is very similar to the main idea that I preached on only a few weeks ago from Psalm 73, in which I explained what is our chief desire and delight. And then after explaining our chief desire and delight, I explained that it was our only desire and delight. And that is our covenant life with God in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a very similar idea here. What is our only comfort in life and in death? It's very similar because of what question 2 talks about. Talking about that comfort, how can we enjoy this comfort and live and die happily? Enjoying the comfort, living and dying happily, is very similar to that which is our chief and only desire and delight in this life. And so we had a whole sermon, at least a whole second point not so long ago, explaining how God and our life with Him in the Lord Jesus Christ is our only desire and delight. That is to say, our only comfort in life and in death. But it doesn't get to the point in our lives ever where we don't have to hear this again. It's so important for us because of our sinful natures to hear repeatedly all our life long that Christ is our only comfort. And to hear that we must never in all of our life find our comfort in other things in our lives. We don't find our comfort in Southern Comfort, one of the many alcoholic beverages that are available in the world today. We don't find our comfort in the Comfort Inn or any other vacation that we can take in our lives on this earth. We don't find our comfort in our comforter or any other escape that we may seek, like sleep. We don't find our comfort in comfort foods or any other thing that we may turn to in our lives that in the moment causes us to feel good. We find our comfort only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is Christ alone who gives us the victory and the deliverance from our greatest need for comfort, which is sin, guilt, and death. You see how what you identify the need for comfort changes everything depending on how you answer that question? If you say the need for comfort is on account of the fact that I live on this earth and I want to be happy on this earth, then you're going to find your comfort in all of those things. But when you correctly identify the need for comfort, and this is Lord's Days 2 through 4, which we'll get into at length in the coming weeks, as sin, guilt, and death, you know that in the face of that sin, guilt, and death, it's only Christ. It's only Jesus. And then that comfort extends to everything else in our lives. Because so great is our salvation in Christ that we are preserved in that salvation, and all things as we face them in our lives are subservient to that great salvation in Jesus. And the nature of this comfort is not only that it is only in Jesus, but it is also everlasting. Notice that in verse 16 of 2 Thessalonians 2, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation, everlasting comfort. That's what we need, people of God. We don't need just comfort today. We don't need just a comfort that will get us through tomorrow. We don't need just a comfort that's going to get us through this week, this month, or this year. What you need and what I need is a comfort that gets us through today, tomorrow, this week, this year, and all the years of our life, but a comfort that extends to the deathbed. And a comfort that extends beyond that deathbed into the realm of eternity. And the nature of our comfort that we have of belonging to Jesus Christ, as 2 Thessalonians 2:16 says, is that it is an everlasting consolation. Our salvation in Jesus Christ is eternal. To belong to Jesus Christ today means that you will belong to Jesus Christ tomorrow and forever. To belong to Jesus Christ today means that you will live with that Lord Jesus Christ in the glory of heaven and the new creation where there are pleasures forevermore. The nature of our comfort is everlasting because Christ's work of salvation is absolutely complete. This is one of the beautiful aspects of the answer to question one. Notice these types of expressions in the answer to question one. Body and soul. Complete salvation, because that's who I am. Body and soul. Life and death. Today, tomorrow, extending to the very time of my death. With His precious blood, fully satisfied. Not for just a few, but for all of my sins. Delivers me from all the power of the devil. Doesn't just preserve me, but so preserves me that without the will of my head, now think of the smallest detail in life, a little hair of the hundreds that we have falling from the head. Yea, that not just some things, but all things must be subservient to my salvation, such that He assures me of not just a life that is for a while, but of an eternal life, and makes us ready to live unto Him. What a beautiful answer, explaining the comfort of belonging to Jesus. And as I said earlier, it's an answer that emphasizes entirely the complete and sure salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. At no point in the answer does it say anything about what we have done or what we do. It's not that Jesus satisfies for some of our sins and we need to do something to appease God for other of those sins. It's not that He delivers us in some respects from the power of the devil, but I need to now do something by what I have in me to deliver myself from the power of the devil. It's not that I have to figure out how all things are subservient to my salvation, but God does this and assures me that this is true. It's not that I have to muster it up within myself now to live for Him, but He makes me willing and ready to live unto Him. All of it is an explanation of the full and complete salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that reason, the nature of the comfort that we have of belonging to Him is that it is an everlasting comfort. And this is a comfort, beloved, that we enjoy. That's the burden of question and answer two. How many things are necessary for thee to know that thou, enjoying this comfort, may live and die happily? Question one, what is the comfort? In one succinct statement, that I belong to Jesus, followed by everything Jesus does for me. Number two asks the very important follow-up. That's what it is. But now, how do I enjoy it? How do I enjoy it in such a way that I live happily and that I die happily as well? That's what we need to know. Not just what it is, but I need to know today, and you need to know, how do I enjoy this? Because I want to live happily and I want to die happily. I need to enjoy this comfort every day when I wake up and know that I'm a sinner. And every day, at the end of the day, when I reflect upon my life in light of the piercing truth of God's Word, I know that I don't measure up to the will of God expressed in His Ten Commandments and in all of the Scriptures. And that makes me guilty in my conscience before God. And then even when I reflect upon my best works, they're still tainted with sin. I need to know and enjoy the comfort of belonging to Jesus. I need to know this comfort and enjoy this comfort when I reflect upon the context of 2 Thessalonians 2 and how an anti-Christian kingdom is coming, the spirit of which is very real today, so that we can think about a week ago from this past Sunday and see a bit of a foretaste with the church in Texas of what's going to happen to the church, maybe not in that form, but coming from a government and a leader that oppresses violently the Church of Jesus Christ. As I think about that today, and when that's the case for us as the church in the future, I need to know and enjoy comfort in the midst of those circumstances. I need to know this. Every day when I live my life alone in single life, I need to know this every day and the trials of this life that we face, and the sicknesses and the pains. I need to know, and not just know, but enjoy, so that I live happily in the Christian sense of the word and die happily in the Christian sense of the word, this comfort of belonging to Jesus. And the Catechism makes clear, based upon the Word of God, you can know that. You must know that. You can enjoy that, and you must enjoy that. The nature of our comfort, according to the will of God, is that we experience this. And the Heidelberg Catechism is based upon the Word of God, for example, in 2 Thessalonians 2, in this respect, when it says in verse 16, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, hath given us everlasting comfort and hope through grace." Comfort your hearts. Notice that language. Our everlasting Father and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, has not kept to Himself everlasting comfort, but He's given that comfort, and He comforts the hearts of God's people. God's will for us as His people is not to live in doubt. God's will for us as His people is not to live in misery. God's will for us as His people is not to live in such a way that through no matter what we face in our lives, we can't enjoy and experience and have the happiness of being children of God. God's will for you, God's will for me, is that we receive from His hand so that He gives it to us, this comfort, so that we enjoy it, live happily, and die happily. The Catechism explains how. It's in the way of knowing and believing these three things. We live happily and we die happily when we know the greatness of our sin, when we know our deliverance in the Lord Jesus Christ, and when we know that we are to live a holy and thankful life in obedience. It's knowledge. It starts there. But the nature of that knowledge, according to Lord's Day 1, is not just an intellectual knowledge, but it's a knowledge of the heart. To live happily and to die happily. To enjoy the comfort of belonging to Jesus every single day, no matter what the circumstances of life are, such that we can say, as the Apostle says in Philippians 4, I rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. It's to believe in the depths of our hearts every day, I'm a sinner. And that's the source of my misery. But I believe in Jesus today and trust that in Jesus all of my sin is removed and I have life with God. And it is to believe that now out of gratitude, I must and I do live a life of thankfulness. And it's not the case that this is sequential, so that at the beginning of our Christian walk, we know our sin, and then for a period of time, we focus on Christ, and then eventually we get to the thankful life of obedience. But these three are present every single day, all throughout the day, so that it's a good question to ask if we are not enjoying and experiencing the comfort of belonging to Jesus. Are all three here? Are all three present every single day? Am I truly knowing my sin as the deepest source of my misery? Am I believing and trusting in Jesus? Am I living now out of thanks for that deliverance through faith in Christ? Am I living and striving to live a thankful walk of obedience? When those are present through the work of the Holy Spirit, God gives to us His comfort. The word for comfort in the Scriptures is the word that is used to identify who the Holy Spirit is. Jesus explains in the Gospel according to John that the Holy Spirit is the great comforter. God gives us that comfort through His Spirit. His Spirit who works always through His Word. His Word as we read it in our everyday lives, but His Word especially as that is preached. So that in the preaching of His Word, as we believe it, as it reveals to us our sin, and the preaching of His Word as it sets forth the victory that is in Jesus Christ, in the preaching of His Word as it sets forth the thankful way of obedience, the Holy Spirit who is the great comforter works in our hearts to give us this glorious comfort all our life long. And so that sets us on the path of preaching the Heidelberg Catechism and the Word of God going forward. What is going to happen through another round of Heidelberg Catechism preaching? What is happening every time the gospel is preached? God is giving us this comfort and comforting our hearts. God is giving that to us because it sets forth this threefold knowledge that we need every day and every week. God is giving that to us through the Spirit who works in our hearts through the power of His Word. So that all our lives long, we have this threefold knowledge, the fruit of which is the glorious comfort of belonging to Jesus Christ. And so much of that comfort, especially in the distresses of this life, reveals itself in our hope. Verse 16, He's given us this everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. That's what we need. That gives us the comfort in this life. It's that hope, that good hope. The hope always being the future expectation of a good to come for us. A certain expectation of a future good for us. That's our hope. That's why we're comforted in this life. That despite being sinners every day, a hope for us in the future is that final deliverance which we have now through faith in Christ. The hope that we have in the distresses of this life is that it's all subservient and leading to our final salvation. Hope, beloved. The Lord Jesus Christ, which we receive as those who belong to Him, both in life and in death. May God, through the preaching of His gospel, grant us this comfort in life and in death of belonging to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we pray for Thy blessing upon Thy Word as it was preached this morning, such that we may believe the gospel preached and receive the fruit of the powerful preaching of the gospel, and that is that it does comfort our hearts in the face of our greatest misery, which is sin, guilt, and death, and lead us unto Thyself to know that Thou art our God. Thou art our faithful Father who loves us and has saved us in Jesus. We pray now, bless the remainder of our worship service and be with us in this afternoon as we strive to keep the Lord's Day holy out of thankfulness. And bring us back together again this afternoon to continue to worship Thy great and glorious name. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.